this Sunday, April 22nd, 2013, we're having a meeting in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. That's right, the city of the Great Flood of 1889. If it's raining, I wouldn't come if I were you. Especially if it's a downpour like we had last night. Shh, they get very nervous. Shh, whenever it downpours in Johnstown. That town was flooded. There's one building there that survived. It's called Alma Hall. And it's got a plaque there that said, this building survived the Johnstown flood. Bad time there. Shh, watch out when it rains. But we're going to be at the airport. So if the rain starts coming, you can hop on a plane and get the heck out of there. So if you're anywhere near Johnstown, Pennsylvania. Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zender. If you're anywhere near Johnstown, Pennsylvania, this Sunday, April 21st. If you're in April 21st, we're going to be at the Johnstown Airport. So if you're in Oklahoma City, Guam, Clovis, New Mexico, Singapore, and some parts of Maryland, join us. Come on over. It's going to be great. I'm going to be speaking. Clyde Pilkington's going to be speaking. Steve Hill. And I think is Jim Baskin going to be bringing a message? I think he is. And, oh, Dr. Winbigler, my therapist in the movie Psycho Boy, he's going to be there. He's going to speak. He's at a speaking slot. He's really an ex-Baptist minister, I think. He might correct me there, put me on the couch and correct me on that. Win Alibo, who played Dr. Winbigler in Psycho Boy, he's going to be there. And so would love to meet you. Come on in. And then come over to the house here and see us. You can come visit me in the studio. We can do a show together. You can sit here and watch the activity. We'll have lots of fun. So if you're anywhere in the area, come on down. Now, the Apostle Paul, again, had no problem using the I. 1,200 times he uses the personal pronoun I or me. Now, I'm going to go to the Galatians 2:20. This is a really dissection of this truth of returning full circle to the use, free use of the pronoun I. Now, Paul says this. I'm going to read this first, then I'm going to analyze it. Going to go into a word-by-word analysis of this verse. Going to be very helpful to you. I am crucified with Christ. Now, listen to the I's here. See if you can get this before I explain it to you. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Galatians 2:20. Man, this thing is loaded. Let's go through it. I, a son of Adam, this is the first I. This is the 12 o'clock position when we start the I cycle. I, a son of Adam, am crucified with Christ. Okay, so that I died. And here's the tricky part. Here's the part that would mystify you without a knowledge of the new creation. Nevertheless, I live. So who's the second I? This is the Son of God. This is the Paul who is now a son of God, who has been remade, who has been entombed with Christ, crucified, entombed with Christ, resurrected as a new creature. And Paul's apprehending this by faith. It's the new I am crucified with Christ, old I. Nevertheless, I, the new I, live. Yet not I, which is the I of the old creation, not I, not that I, but Christ lives in me. And this is the me of the new creation. Christ lives in me. The I that was figuratively resurrected, considered to have been resurrected by God through Christ. And the life, that is the life of God, the life which I, the unique person God has made Paul to be, I now live. And the life which I now live in the flesh, that is right now, this very day, the life that I, the unique person God created to be, the life that I now live in flesh, right now, this very day, I live by faith, by the faith of the Son of God. Again, we're walking by faith, not perception. This is unique. I think that's 2 Corinthians 5:7. This is unique to Paul's gospel, this living by faith, not perception, because God puts us so far ahead of the game. He gives us such a sophisticated spiritual apprehension of what he's doing with us and our result, you know, for the joy set before him, Christ endured the cross. We have joy set before us, not only joy, we have knowledge, we have information. We are in spirit seated among the celestials in Christ. And now by that faith, we're now living in the flesh. I mean, this is tough. You're looking at yourself in the mirror and say, "Wah, me? And yet you have to walk by faith as you apprehend these amazing things God says of you, calling what is not as though it were, i.e. seated among the celestials in Christ. You are a new creation. You are justified by faith. That's the faith of Christ. Now, this life, Paul lives in faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. So there is a verse, Galatians 2:20, describing to you, really, it's an analysis. It's a laboratory analysis, or if you're in the old black and white movies, a laboratory analysis of the truth concerning you in Christ Jesus. That's it right there, Galatians 2:20. So in Christ, again, we're free to be ourselves, the real person God's made you to be, free. You're free to use pronouns. You're free to speak of what you're doing. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I wrote this. I wrote that. I brought Christ to that person. I gave him the evangel. I was awesome at that Bible study. I wrote a heck of an article. My show yesterday was great. Love me. Love me. Love me. Love me. There's nothing wrong with that. Who doesn't want love? Oh, you? You don't want love? You don't want people to like you? You don't want people to think well of you? You remember I said yesterday the hit dog yelps, ow! I want loved. And yet, when you say something like that, when you say, I'm going to go travel and meet fellow members of the body of Christ because not only do I want to love them, but I want to be loved. Oh, you're just up for yourself, Martin Zender. You just want to be loved. Yeah. Who doesn't? You don't want to be loved? So people are just afraid to talk this way and be honest. And so when I am honest and say, I want to be loved, I want to be hugged, I want to be appreciated, who doesn't? But people will throw rocks at that. People who hear this, the ones who also want love more than anything else, they're afraid to express it. They're afraid to say it. They're afraid to be vulnerable. They're afraid to express their needs. I have needs, and I express them honestly. And it's human. It's so human. Everybody has these needs, but those who are afraid of them, those who are afraid of their own selves, their own needs, their own desires, they will throw rocks at the person. They will condemn the person who honestly says that and condemn them as some anti-humble person, as some proud person, as some person who is just thinking of themselves. You're just thinking of yourself, Martin Zender. Well, guess what? We're all thinking of ourselves. Every damn one of us is thinking of ourselves. Can we just admit it? You get up thinking about yourself. What am I going to do today? What am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? And sometime you may trick yourself into thinking, I'm going to do something for somebody else today. It's just a trick. You're really doing it so that you will feel good about doing good for that person. Yeah, your acts of so-called selfless love are so self-serving, it's ridiculous. But that's the way God made us. The only reason we get things done in this world is because of ego. Now, there's the old ego, and then there's the new ego. And we're plugging in this series, the I cycle, we're plugging into the new ego. We're plugging into the I that has been delivered from self-occupation, self-analysis. That's killing, people. Self-analysis is killing. That's the most exhausting enterprise you'll ever enterprise yourself in. Self-analysis. And it's futile. Forget about it. Just come to the realization with me, please, that you need help. You want love. You want to be affirmed in this life. You want people to love you. You want your children to love you. You want your spouse to love you. You want your friends to love you. Nothing wrong with that. Just don't. We're not going to compromise our morals. We're not going to compromise our spiritual standards to get it. We're not going to sell ourselves to get it. But what I'm telling you is there's nothing wrong with wanting it. It's human. And that's part of the deliverance that this truth about the I cycle is going to bring you. You're going to be able to be honest with yourself about your needs. And you're not going to be duplicitous. You're not going to pretend you're one way, but really be another way. You're not going to pretend, oh, I don't need that. I don't need people to love me. I'm not going to say these raw emotional things Martin Zender is saying. It's not, okay, yeah, it's raw, but okay, I guess it's emotional on the surface, but it's based in the Spirit. Because I don't deny that the Spirit of God is living in me. And I also don't deny that the Spirit of God gave me certain needs, certain wants, certain lusts, if you will. We always associate lust with sex, and I'm not saying that's wrong, but it's not exclusive to that. We lust to be accepted. But again, I teach all the time, don't compromise any part of you to get it, but it's not wrong to long for it, to lust for it, to need it. You're human. My gosh, we're supposed to belong to communities. If you're isolated, I really feel bad for you. Now listen, there's a time in my life where I thought that I could really survive pretty well on my own. I don't need anybody. I often thought of myself as this epic writer who is in his ivory tower. He types his words and tosses his books down to the masses. They love it. Just pass me, you know, wine and stale bread underneath the door and I'll be fine. That is so bullcrap right there. You need other people, and it's fine to admit it. Be honest with yourself and be honest with other people. Well, when you're honest with yourself, you can't help but be honest with other people. Tomorrow, I want to talk to you about the absolute and the relative perspective. Naturally, we're going to go to Philippians 2, 12, and 13. And then I had this awesome conversation, was it 3 days ago now, 2 days ago, with a woman in California, and she was feeling that she couldn't express herself. She had this like speaker's block. She had a believer's block. She wanted to share her faith, but she was afraid, and many of you are afraid. My gosh, many of you, you have flowers inside of you. You have rainbows. You have the Spirit of God, and yet you're afraid to express yourself. This is part of the I cycle. You're afraid to express yourself because it seems so self-serving, so self-indulgent. Well, let me tell you, oh, that, and you're afraid how you're going to look. You're afraid that you're going to look stupid in front of other people and that people are going to laugh at you because you have feelings, because you have these precious, precious things inside of you that you're longing to share. And yet I know you're stopped up. You want to express, but you can't because you're worried how you're going to look. You're worried what God's going to think. And then so you stuff it, don't you? You stuff it. And you try to cover up with alcohol. You try to cover it up with sex. You try to cover it up with some obsession, some compulsion, when really you just want to express yourself. You want to tell your wife or your husband or your kids exactly who you are. But you're afraid you're going to look dumb. You're afraid you're not going to say it right. You're not as smart as this person. You're not as intelligent. You're not as clever. You're not as witty. Forget about all that. You are a unique creation and you need to express yourself, and God is liberating you. Nobody can say it like you do. Nobody can sing it like you do. Nobody can paint it like you do. Nobody can talk it or cry it or express it like you can. And I am liberating you. I pray that the Spirit of God is using you to liberate you. Tomorrow I'm going to talk about this. I'm going to talk about the conversation I had with this woman. The world is a canvas. You're an artist because there's nobody else like you, and I'm going to teach you how to paint.